We're going to talk about electromagnetic radiation for a few minutes. If you recall, in the last chapter, we'd already talked about electromagnetic waves as being transverse waves. In this case, an electromagnetic wave has an electric and magnetic field, each one perpendicular to the other, and then the direction of propagation is perpendicular to both. Most of what we want to talk about now, we can actually forget the magnetic field and really just talk about the electric field. So that's what we'll do. Now, imagine the light coming right at you, and if you were looking at it, you might see electromagnetic field pointing up in some direction. Well, if it sort of was uniformly pointing up or out from the sort of the center where the light's coming from, it would be called unpolarized, but if you saw it pointing up and down only, say, in one direction, that would be called linearly polarized. There's a couple ways we can talk about polarization. We'll stick with linearly polarized here because that's the one that you'll basically experience when you deal with things like sunglasses or glare off of a hood of a car, that sort of thing. Now, the light can be polarized, but there is also material called polaroid or polarizing material. What the polarizing material does is it essentially permits light that's polarized in one direction to pass through and prevents other polarizations. So imagine you have unpolarized light and you pass it through a polarizer, you'll basically get light that's linearly polarized. Now, if you were to take that linearly polarized light and pass it through another polarizing filter that allows light in the same direction to pass, the light comes through. If it's oriented perpendicular, no light will get through. That's when you say you basically have crossed polarizers. So what can we do with polarized light? Well, there are such things as polarized sunglasses. So if you go to the local drugstore and you buy a pair of sunglasses, they're probably polarized. A way you can check that is to go find some place where you see some glare. So it could be a classroom on the windowsill. It could be the hood of your car. You'll notice when the sun gets low in the sky, there's often a lot of glare on the windshield, especially if you're driving into it. You can hold the sunglasses up and rotate them. You'll see that at certain directions, they block more light than at others. And they block the light differentially so that the glare gets blocked, but light coming in from actual objects, reflected off objects, tends not to. Okay, that's an example of using polarized sunglasses. You can also see an example of polarized light if you go outside, say, around noon when the sky is blue, so no clouds, okay, and you look away from the sun, hold your polarizers up and rotate them, and you'll see that the sky is slightly polarized. That has to do with the light coming from the sun being absorbed and re-radiated by molecules in the atmosphere. And in fact, there's a reason there the radiation is sort of preferred in one direction. So you can see that generally that light that's backscattered to you is polarized. The next two wave phenomena we have to talk about is really different aspects of the same thing. One is diffraction, one is interference. So we'll talk about diffraction first, but really they're not completely separable in what's going on here because it's the same fundamental idea. So for diffraction, imagine you have, say, water waves, and you put an obstruction up in the path of the waves. Well, the first thing you notice is as the wave passes through, it spreads out. If you narrow the obstruction so that you only let water through at one little area, then if you're very far from that area, after the wave has passed through, it looks like a circular wave expanding. Okay? That's basically diffraction, where the wave doesn't appear to be traveling by, say, line of sight, but it spreads out in all directions. Okay. So that works out really nice. Now, keep in mind, visible light is a very short wavelength, 400 to 700 nanometers. Okay, remember, nano means 10 to the minus 9. So your obstruction would have to be very small, too, on the order of, a quarter millimeter would work. It's a little large, but you get, say, some smaller spacings, and it works great. But you don't really see diffraction coming around the edge of an object, a large object. That's because diffraction is there, but you can't really see it. If you hold, say, your index finger and your thumb together, almost together, you'll see that before they really touch, there's actually a dark spot that develops in between. You'll even see some edge effects where you'll sort of see some dark lines form. That's diffraction. Okay? So you can see it in everyday, readily available. It's just that we don't normally think about it. How often do people try to look at their thumb and index finger getting very close together? Okay. Now, we find that you can see radio waves diffract but here, wavelength for, say, AM is 180 to 570 meters, so you would need something on that order of an opening to see that light would diffract. Okay? FM is a shorter wavelength, so a smaller opening would work. Now, we can also talk about interference. In the case of interference, you're used to seeing this. You throw two pebbles into a pond, you can see the outgoing waves interfere. Okay, you can see it with raindrops in a puddle. Okay, and what you see is when the waves sort of are in the same spot at the same time, when you're looking where they overlap, if they're both crests, you get double the height. If they're both troughs, it's double the depth. And if one is a crest and one's a trough, they just momentarily wipe each other out right there. But as soon as they pass through each other, it's like they're undisturbed. They never did anything to each other. Okay. This is, of course, tied into our principle of superposition. I think we talked about that already, which basically means waves add according to amplitudes, and they can also pass right through each other. Okay. And we can see constructive interference when the waves are essentially in phase, so crest adds with crest, trough with trough, or destructive, meaning crest adds with trough and they basically wipe out. Okay. It's common to see interference show up in thin films, so if you ever look at, say, a puddle, maybe right as the rain begins on a roadway, you see a puddle and you see the different color reflections. That's a thin film of, say, oil and grease and stuff on the top of the puddle. And that's thin film, and you're seeing basically interference of light from each, the top layer of the oil and the bottom layer of the oil. And depending on the angle, you'll see red light or blue light or green light, depending on at which angle the interference is maximized for that particular wavelength. Now, you put the two effects together, say, and the book uses the example of light. What I'm going to use is two cellular antennas, because we're all fairly familiar with cellular antennas. So let's say you're driving between two cell antennas. They're off, say, we won't have you exactly between them. We'll make them off to the left or something, and you're driving parallel to them. But basically then in the region of them, and what you find is that your cell signal seems to get stronger or weaker, and it's oscillating. That's a mixture of interference and diffraction. So from each antenna individually, there's the wave coming out, which is equivalent to diffraction, even though it comes from a source, but it's still the wave spreading out. And then the interference part is where these waves meet. If they're in phase, crest meets crest, you have a really good signal, and if you have crest meeting trough, you have a bad signal. Now, if you want to do this for visible light, you might have a single source that you shine through two slits. The slits are the equivalent of the antennas. And you get the same phenomena, but you could see on a wall, if you did this with light, you would see a series of bright and dark spots. Actually, you'd see the bright spots, the dark, there just wouldn't be anything there. Okay, so that's a way to see interference. Now, you can also see diffraction grating by simply pulling out, say, a CD and looking at how it reflects the light. The CD, if you look close up, you notice it basically looks like a bunch of really small lines going around in the circle of the CD, and those essentially act like diffraction slits. Okay, so instead of having two slits or two antenna, you've got a bunch of them, and the net effect is you get a rainbow pattern for light, a diffraction grating. So what used to be a very expensive thing to manufacture and only showed up in physics and chemistry labs now shows up on a cheap CD that, well, people aren't even using CDs anymore because they store their media in other forms. So we really had one major equation in this chapter, and that was index of refraction. Okay, remember, we also had that the focal length for a spherical mirror is the radius of the mirror divided by 2, or the radius of curvature divided by 2. Okay. We didn't do a lot with ray diagrams other than I want you to qualitatively understand by going to that one site I put a link in one of the slides for you to go to and play with, so you really understand how the converging and diverging lenses work. So other than that, I don't think you'll have a lot of equations for this chapter to worry about. Thank you.